Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. This is Ray and Tay Today. Ray, that's Paul Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and listen, man, this is our last show, Globetrotting the World with Ray. Friday we'll be back on, probably 8 o'clock Eastern, you know, both in the United States of America. But listen, we just thank you for enjoying the show and the ride with us as we, you know, do it from wherever we are. Give us a call, man, 718-664-9098. Thank you for the emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Keep them coming about the NBA Finals. We've got some hockey stuff, you know, the top 15 NBA players, which we will continue. We've been talking about. Also, hit us up at Facebook, Twitter. You know, we're interactive. So it's Ray and Tay Today, RAEANDTAY Today, and also rayandtaytoday.com, great interactive website. Ray, how you feeling? And let's do the do, man. Tell them about the show.
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling better than the Miami Heat because I know they're under a little bit of pressure right now.
Woo!
But let's get into it. So we got a great show today. We'll take you around the breaking news in the NBA with contracts, the whole coast-to-coast action going on with the Clippers and the Celtics. We'll talk about, you know, some breaking news here around the world of sports. We've got some golf, some football, a little bit of football news. But really, we're going to NBA Finals. So we're going to talk about Game 5 that just happened. We're going to talk about Game 6 that's right about to go down in Miami as the series goes back 3-2 to Miami. Yep. And then we're going to finish up our segment, top 15 NBA players of all time, where Ray and Tay are going to give you their top five. Woo, exciting, very basketball-heavy show today, but that's it. We're in the middle of the NBA Finals. Oh, and by the way, we'll give a shout-out to hockey because we've got a good – what's shaping up to be a good NHL final. And it's kind of funny because of the lockout, the NHL used to finish about a week or 10 days before the NBA. But now it looks like the NBA is going to finish up right before the NHL final. So that's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, man. Well, let's jump right into it. I mean, it's good that you say the hockey because that overtime was amazing. The Bruins, you know, scored, I guess, with about 6 minutes left in the first overtime. They won. The series is tied 1-1. But I think it's great, Ray, because you've got you know, both first two games in the series going to overtime. A lot of the, you know, hockey experts have said if these guys, the Bruins and the Blackhawks, played 100 times, that they would probably, you know, wind up being 50-50 in terms of each, you know, team winning. But tonight we have game three, and we're back in Boston. So we'll see what happens if the Bruins can sort of, you know, take it over. And, you know, Blackhawks are changing their lineup a little bit, so that should be interesting. And, it, you know, it's always fun. And, you know, we love NHL playoffs, Ray and I, so it's exciting to watch, you know.
Yeah, and you know, to see these two original six teams playing is kind of exciting. I think this is the last time two played like this, a 79 or something like that. So definitely exciting times in hockey. And like I said, it's kind of interesting that hockey is going to go and maybe have the spotlight in terms of the finals for, you know, maybe for a week or so if these NBA finals finish up on Tuesday. And even if they finish up on Thursday, hockey will still get some primetime love. So hockey can always use, you know, primetime.
Yeah, no, definitely. You're going in and out. But I will say this, Ray. We'll move on from hockey and go to the U.S. Open and Justin Rose winning. But I will say this, the hockey has got to be, you know, they got to have it on regular NBC. Saturday night it was on, you know, the cable station NBC, the 24-hour network. NBC Sports Channel. So we'll see if they have it on regular, you know, free, you know, TV, NBC tonight, which I believe they will. So, hey, Justin Rose does it. Phil Mickelson, you know, he's around our age, a little bit older than us, turns 43. You know, comes a, tied for second place, loses the U.S. Open. You hate to say choked, but he was up. And, you know, the Brit, Justin Rose, gets it. And good for him. You know, his father died about a decade ago, so he was, you know, sort of had the, you know, the emotional, teary, you know, celebration up to the heavens. And I thought it was great. And you know, he wins $1,444,000, Ray. How would you like that? Nice little present on June 16th.
I think that's pretty awesome for Rose. You know, he's 32 years old. He's one of those guys that, you know, an excellent player, wins a major. Mickelson finishes second. You hate to focus on Mickelson all the time, especially when he finishes second, you know, because Justin Rose deserves all the credit for having a great, you know, final round. But he's such an intriguing story, Phil, right? This, what is this, his fifth time coming in second?
Sixth time finishing second.
Sixth time, that's right. It was fifth coming into this, and now it's his sixth time coming in second. So, I mean, good thing he's won a few majors, Mickelson. Otherwise, they'll be all over him. But you know, Justin Rose's story, and Justin Rose needs to get all the credit in the world.
Yeah, no, I do appreciate his story, and I think it's great. I just feel bad for Mickelson, you know. And even Justin Rose said it. He's like, he's a great guy. He's like, it's a great father, you know, great story. His birthday, Father's Day, the whole spiel. And, you know, no victory, no win. But, you know, what do you do? You know, what do you do? But moving on, man, let's keep it moving because that's what we do in a short, you know, quick show. The NBA is sort of heating up, man. But before we talk about the NBA heating up, two quick things in football, Ray. Chad Johnson, you know, apologized to the judge, so he's out of jail. That's good. And T.O. went to go visit him, Chad Johnson. But his former team, the Cincinnati Bengals, Ray, are going to be on Hard Knocks this year. It's none of that, you know, NFL trying to beg and find a team, wait to the last minute. The Bengals have stepped up, and they are going to be featured training camp, Hard Knocks on HBO. Great series. What do you think about the Bengals doing that? And this will be their second time, right?
Yeah, their second time. Remember, I think it was the first year was when they had the kid from Alabama.
Marvin Lewis.
The number six pick overall. Remember, he was holding out, and then he broke his foot. So, yeah, you know what? I mean, I'm interested to see the Bengals because they're actually a good team this year. They're not a joke. I just have an issue with the Hard Knocks getting a new team, right? You had the Cowboys a couple times. Now you have the apparently half the team don't want to be on Hard Knocks.
Wouldn't you like to see somebody like the Texans or the Lions? Yeah, you're right. Mix it up. I would like to see a new team too, Ray. That's a good call. You're right on that one. Definitely right on that one. And, you know, we like to give folks some, like, entertainment stuff, man. So real quick, Ray, you know, you got the finals going on in the Voice, you know, with the Swan brothers, Danielle and Michelle Samuels. So it's basically Usher, the coach, against the country guy, man. So Usher and, oh, God, why am I forgetting his name? But, you know, the two of them are going to, you know, battle it out on The Voice. True Blood premiered for you fans of True Blood. That was awesome. So, you know, it's summertime, man, and it's almost official on the 21st. We're here on the 17th. But, Ray, quickly in the NBA, Doc Rivers says he'll go to broadcasting, Ray, if they can't sort of make a deal where you're actually trading the coach. You know, the Clippers and the Celtics, what do you think about that? And they're talking about, you know, re-throwing the players around. But how do you trade a coach, Ray?
I don't know. The only thing that comes to mind is remember the Jets and the Patriots when you had the whole, you know, Belichick was the coach for one and Parcells and all this stuff. So it's not unheard of, but it's very, very rare. Apparently, just everybody's got one, you know, and Doc wants to get out of Boston. And the good thing about Doc is he has a legitimate option to go to go back to broadcasting because he was a broadcaster before. So he's not bluffing. I mean, he could sit out and do his broadcasting thing. So I think they're up to a deal. Eric Bledsoe seems to be the piece that is holding the deal up because the Celtics want him and the Clippers want his rights. So if they get Chris Paul to re-sign, I think they'll trade Bledsoe for another chip. So I don't think Bledsoe will be a Clipper. I think he might be too expensive to hold on to in terms of his asset value, you know, his rights around the league. Everybody wants Bledsoe. So we'll see if who wins this game of poker. But I do think Doc's going to be in L.A. next year.
That's interesting. Well, and then two other notes with that, right? The Rockets have already said they will not let Kevin McHale go to the Celtics, so that's kind of funny, and that's one note. And then your boy, Monte Ellis, is opting out of his deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. It'll be interesting to see, Ray, where Monte Ellis as a free agent winds up. You know, teams with money, you know, sort of Cleveland, Dallas, Atlanta. You kind of wonder where could a sort of small – almost Iverson-like two-guard who can just put the ball in the hoop where he could go, you know?
I like him as a sixth man. I mean, I know he's going to want money as a starter, but I think if he really wants to be successful and his team wants to be successful, because remember, he's been in Golden State and then he's been in Milwaukee, so he's had a little bit of playoff success as an eighth seed, I guess. But at the end of the day, he's a sixth man to me. I hated that backcourt of Ellis and Jennings. I mean, not that I don't like them as players, working together. If he needs to decide, to me, he's the perfect sixth man. But the Bucks have to decide what they want to do with Brandon Jennings too. So do they lose both?
I think they'll keep Jennings, right? I definitely think they'll keep Jennings.
Well, they got to salvage something out of this backcourt, right? They traded Bogut, they blew up their team, and now they've got to keep Brandon Jennings. But how do you keep him happy? It feels like he's not happy in Milwaukee.
Right. No, you're right about that, and we'll see how that works out. But you know what? Let's do it. It's all about the NBA Finals. Real quick, I just got to say this. The Cardinals, Ray, in baseball, just got to say, best record, 44-25, and a little rain delay on ESPN playing the Cubs, but the Cardinals are awesome. Shout out to all those Cardinal fans out there because they definitely get at us. So game five, Ray, what'd you think? I mean, to me, you know, we spoke about it. You kind of forced me to go with you, and I did, but, you know, we both said the Spurs would win, and now, you know, it's on the Heat to do it. But I got to tell you, Danny Green, 25 three-pointers, has set the record, broke Ray Allen's record, was completely amazing. But all night, I want to let you know, I'm screaming at my television because I think Eric Spoelstra is dropping the ball, Ray. There's no reason that Birdman's not playing in this series, and there's no reason that finally you get Cole and Chalmers out because they're playing like trash. You go with the big lineup where you know, say Ray Allen and Wade are the guards, LeBron, Bosch, but then they do either Miller or Battier. And that lineup made the comeback with Miller. But to me, sort of like the Knicks, and two ways, that they stay with a small lineup, but then also sometimes they won the Knicks and didn't win at all in spite of Jeff Van Gundy, right, who used to get me upset. And then now I think the Heat sometimes win with their talent despite Eric Spoelstra. And I know people like, you know, our callers, Hank thinks it's about effort. I got to tell you, Ray, to me, you've got to play Haslam and you've got to play Birdman because it's too much for Bosch to stick Duncan. Bosch needs to be the power forward, not the center. You get undersized, and then you're undersized all over the court because Leonard and Green are tall. It's frustrating to watch, and Cole and Chalmers cannot stay in front of Tony Parker. Tell me what you think because it's making me crazy.
Well, I mean, Spoelstra knows his team, right? But I hear you. Udonis Haslam only played 9 minutes, and the problem is he doesn't give you much offensively, and they've got some issues with their rotation where they've tried a bunch of things around. And the other thing is it's not that easy because San Antonio doesn't have a standard rotation. So, for example, in this past game, you saw a lot of Boris Diaw, right? So B. Diaw, who was the starter – and then came off the bench and then was a starter again. You know,
and you can't have Miller sticking him. He can't stick him, and neither can Battier. He's too big.
Right, and he gave LeBron James some headaches. So, you know, I don't know. You know, when you play Popovich again, I give Popovich a lot of credit because when you play him, he's so unpredictable. Manu Ginobili hadn't started a game this year, and then he comes out and starts and
yep.
plays 33 minutes and scores his 24 points on 14 shots. So I hear what you're saying, and maybe Spoelstra needs to get a little more creative, but he's not going up against, you know, a formula coach in, you know, in Popovich. So it's a chess match, and, you know, to me the X factor, I mean, obviously the X factor thus far has been the outside shooting of Danny Green. I mean, this guy would have been like 25 of 38 from three, and it's unbelievable.
It's incredible, right?
You knew the kid could score, but you didn't think he'd be this consistent, right? What was it, after game two? We said, oh, we might have seen his best game. And every game he keeps doing better, and he's shooting unbelievably from three. And if he and Kawhi Leonard and Manu Ginobili, they can get three wing scores, wow, that's a hard team to beat. That's a hard team to defend, no matter what rotation you use, you know. So, but again, I'm going to come back to it and say, you know, this series is a great series, and it looks to shape up to me anyway to be 1-1-1-1-1-1-1 all the way to a game seven. But no, this was a pleasure to watch too, because, you know, you really had two teams. You can't say that anybody's really playing poorly. It seems like the team that wins is just playing better, you know. And
but such blowouts. It's rare in the finals to get that, Ray.
Right. And you had the blowout in the San Antonio win in Game Three, but. This is a great finals. I mean, so put yourself in Eric Spoelstra's shoes right now. So what are you saying to your team? Not that this team needs a lot of speaking to, right? This is their third straight finals, and they've won before. They know how it feels to win, and they've lost before, and so they know that too. But what's Eric Spoelstra saying? What's his coaching staff also saying?
You know,
so tell me about your rotation and what you're telling the players.
I got to tell him this. I got to say, number one, you guys cannot leave Green open. His shots are wide open. And granted, he took one 5 feet behind the three-point line, which was incredible. But, you know, you cannot – it's momentum killers, right? Number one, nobody is going to the offensive board. So I agree with you on Haslam, but at least Haslam, Ray, could get you some offensive rebounds, and so could Birdman in that energy, right? So I tell the team, number one, be aggressive. You know, Bosch has played better in this series. His last couple games have been great. Wade's been incredible the last couple games. You know, Bosch, has sort of stepped it up on the rebounding. Wade and LeBron had 25. In game six, I don't care who it is, even if all three of them get 20 like they did in game, you know, four, 20 plus, I think that you've got to be more aggressive. Somebody's got to go to the offensive boards. They've got to move on offense. And when they switch on the pick and roll, don't go under. You have to go over the pick and roll, because when they go under, then the Spurs are hitting a wide-open jumper. And quiet is kept. Everyone's talking about MVP for the Spurs, right, that it should be Danny Green or Parker. But I will say this, man. Duncan is just quiet and solid, and the Heat have no answer for him, which is why I say you've got to play. I don't care if you throw in Joel Anthony. You've got to throw some size at Duncan. You just have to. But I will also say this. Kawhi Leonard, Ray, his defense on LeBron, you know, last game, what did he have, like 16 points and 9 rebounds? Every game he's just quiet and solid. And he's becoming a little star, just like Paul George, not, you know, as dominant as Paul George. But give the young Spurs credit, because even if Duncan and Ginobili, let's say, retired, with Parker, Danny Green, and Leonard, I mean, you know, and Thiago Splitter, these young players on their team, they're amazing. The Spurs role players are better than the Heat's role players.
Oh, for sure. I mean, their role players are probably the best in the league. And remember that, you know, Ginobili was the second-round pick. Tony Parker was a late first-round pick. Obviously, Tim Duncan fell in their hands, right? He came to them basically because David Robinson broke his foot and then sat out half a season. And then they had the work, you know, they got the number one pick in the draft. But other than that, if you look up and down their roster, Kawhi Leonard was a late first-round pick. Parker was a first-round pick. Ginobili was a second-round pick. Danny Green was a journeyman nobody wanted. You know, Tiago Splitter also.
LeBron's old teammate in Cleveland, Danny Green.
Yeah, Boris Diaw, they picked up off the scrap heaps, you know, and these guys just piece together a roster, and then Popovich takes it from there. So, you know, what a great combination of owner, GM, and coach that they have. Forget about the talent. They obviously have talent, but the administration and the whole organization in San Antonio needs to get more credit. I mean, think about it. They might go 5-for-5 in the NBA Finals and have 5 rings since Duncan's first one in 99 if they are able to win one of the next 2 games. So, and that's without the hoopla of the Big Three, not to disrespect Miami, but they just quietly do it. And I think they have the best record they had the best record in organized sports winning percentage-wise over in the Tim Duncan era. So since 99,
oh, yeah,
they've been the winningest team in all of sports.
You're right about that.
Yeah,
came
in the league.
No, you're right. But I will say this. I agree with you. You know, you sort of, you know, had spoke on it last show about the 1-1-1-1-1 theory until Game 7. And I can't believe that they would lose Game 6, sort of like they did with Dallas, you know, going back home. I just got to believe, man, you know, they are going to play more aggressive defensively. But I think if they do lose, Bosch could get traded. I don't know what they'll do with, you know, Chalmers is a free agent. They might let him go. Cole is clearly a backup and not a starter. I just think that the team, you know, and you're seeing now the age, really, of Miller and Battier. They don't even play Rashard Lewis. So, you know, the team needs more size. And I don't know how this would all work out and what they would do. But I got to say, I don't care even if you make 3 finals in a row and you go 1-3, I think – if they do lose in Game 6 or 7, the Big Three would be a failure. You know. Now, granted, Boston Celtics only won 1, but this Big Three, they said, oh, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, right? They sort of put the hype on themselves, and to go 1-3, Ray, that's falling really short and, you know, a little stain on LeBron's, you know, all-time record, I would say.
Well, you might be right. You know, I used the baseball analogy of the Oakland A's of the late 80s, saying that,
yeah,
you know, by far they were the best team in the league, but they were only 1 championship to show for it. So you think they'll break it up? I mean, people were saying that if they lose early, if they lost that round before to Indianapolis, that they would, to the Pacers, that they would then break it up. You think that if they lose in 6 or maybe they lose in 7, you still break this team up? I mean, look,
okay, so if you don't break it up, right?
Yeah.
If you don't break it up, you know LeBron's contract is up after next season. He's a free agent. You know, you take the shot of maybe losing him to back home in Cleveland, or maybe he goes, I don't know, somewhere to the Clippers or Brooklyn. Who knows what could happen, right? But I don't know. That's just my spider senses talking that something would go down, because I don't think their lack of size is helping them, and I think Bosch is not as big defensively on the inside as he should be, although he had a great block shot last night.
If that's the problem. This league has such a lack of big men. So who's out there to have? It's not like, you know, you're going to get yourself a DeAndre Jordan. I mean, there aren't many people that are easy to have. Now, granted, Bosch takes a $15 million because of the, you know, his Big Three contract. So maybe you get 2 $7, $8 million players. Maybe you tell me that, and that could be interesting. But big men are so hard to find, and talent is hard to keep in the NBA. So to me, if you have a Big Three, I don't know if you draft, if you sign free agents, if you try to do what the Lakers did. Now, they didn't do it successfully, but if you try to do what the Lakers did, you know, and bring in a Gary Payton and a Karl Malone at the end of their career, remember in 2004 when they lost to the Pistons?
That was a mess.
I don't know what
yeah.
I don't know what you do there, but you can't give up the Big Three. I mean,
okay, all right, but I'll tell you this:
horizon.
Battier, Miller, and Chalmers will be gone. I really think they would be gone.
I can agree with that.
You know, you got players like James Jones who are just hanging on, and he's got next year, he's got a player option. So, of course, he's going to re-up to play one more year with the Heat and get money and sit on the bench. It's just frustrating. But I'll tell you this. You know, we'll be on Friday. I'll tell you this. I'm sticking with the Heat. I still think they're going to win. I know you feel it, too. We both predicted it. I think they win game six in a heck of a battle, but I think they wind up pulling away by 8 or 9. And then I think game seven, man, everybody goes at it. I could see overtime, but I think the Heat would win game seven, you know, in a close one, like 96, 93 or something. But I do think they can win by at least 8 to 10 coming up here tomorrow night in game six. What do you think they'll do?
Yeah, I think the game six is critical. I think if it gets to a game seven, one game, you know, they might bring Adrian Peterson's trainer out to help, you know,
D-Wade.
Injured players, Wade and everybody else. So to me, the critical, obviously, it's an elimination game for the Heat, so it's critical for them. But I think, like you do, that if the Heat win game six, they'll win game seven in a close game. I think game six, believe it or not, might be a little bit of a blowout. I think the Heat might be able to get it going if Danny Green cools down a little bit, if Ginobili doesn't have his great game, Kawhi Leonard, like you said, is playing great. That's a great call on that. But I think the Heat might run away in the second half in this game, game six. So I look for the Heat to win game six, and then I look for a very close game seven. And I originally predicted the Heat winning in seven, so I think I'll stick with that. But one game at a time.
But you wouldn't be surprised if the Spurs did it, though, would you?
No, I wouldn't be surprised. Look, the Spurs are great, and you give Popovich two chances to win one, even if it's on the road. And like we both said, you know, we said at least one road victory each for each of these teams, and it's already happened. So, you know, there's no reason to think that a road team can't win again. So in that respect, the Spurs could win the championship. So you know, I'll put it like this. I'm not going to Vegas and putting any money down on either of these teams.
Definitely not going to Vegas. I feel you on that one. So, look, you know, I'll just say to the listeners who do listen live and stuff, we appreciate it. The show, you know, will cut off in a couple minutes, but Ray and Tay are going to give you our top five, so make sure you listen to it. You know, on the rebound, whether you go to iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, RayandTayToday.com, Facebook, Twitter, and listen to the show. So Ray, you know, we only have one difference in the total of the top 15, and that's, you know, I've got Barkley, you have Isaiah. When we get into talking about five, we left off at six. For me, I think what's interesting is that we both had Duncan at eight. You know, I thought that was kind of interesting. You had LeBron at nine. Let's start off with five. Why don't you give me, you know, your number five guy first, and then I'll give you mine. I think our order is a little similar and a little different in the top five.
Right. So my number five is Kobe. The guy, speaking of five, the guy has five championships. You had him on your list as number six. I have him as number five. He is incredible. I mean, the guy's a scoring champ. The guy only has one MVP, which is a little bit crazy. The guy's got five championships, three of them with Shaq. So you could say, okay, he had another superstar, and two by himself, basically.
Yeah.
You know, Pau Gasol had one good series, a very good series. But essentially, he's doing the heavy lifting, Kobe. So he's unbelievable, and he plays both sides of the court. The only thing you can say about him is that he's not Jordan, but other than that, he's the man. I mean, he might eventually be, you know, two, three, four. Right now he's five, and he's the man, Kobe.
Yeah. You know what I love about him? People tease him and say he tries to, you know, copy Jordan all the time. But one thing about Kobe, he works harder than anybody else, right? He really does, and you give him that credit, and he's a great winner. He's an assassin on the basketball court, and he will come back from this Achilles and play at least one season. I really feel that, and I wish Kobe all the best. So for me, number five, this was hard. I really had switched my order around compared to what I felt, you know, back in October, you know, in September when we first started doing the show. I think this season influenced me. But at five, looking back, you know, I was reading the stats and just listening to different experts. I went with one of my favorite players of all time. He's actually been to my house at 142 West 95th, Lou Alcindor, a friend of my father's. I'm going with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at number five. You know, my dad knew him at Powell Memorial, came to the house. I looked at him like, oh, my goodness. I was like 6 years old, Ray, and I couldn't believe this guy. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I think, you know, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, you know, scored a lot of points. He's got his championships, his MVPs. He's the all-time scoring leader, all-time. That right there tells you a lot. The one thing I'd say, I don't think he was dominant on the defensive end, even though he did get, you know, average 11 rebounds a game. I thought maybe it was less than that, and I was pretty impressed. His biggest season he had, like, led the league in his, like, sixth season, I believe, like 16 rebounds a game. But Jabbar, to me, you know, obviously, you know, doing it with Oscar, getting Oscar his one, and then winning, you know, with Magic, even though Magic sort of helped them against the Sixers in 80, you know, Kareem hit the big shots against Boston, you know, when they won in 85 and also 87, I believe. You know, Jabbar was right. The go-to man, and he kept the Lakers afloat, you know. He really did. So, to me, Jabbar is my five. Who you got it for?
I got Wilt the Stilt. And you talk about dominance. This guy dominated the basketball game, the basketball court. You always needed to know where Wilt Chamberlain was. And you really couldn't do anything about it. That's the thing. You couldn't really scheme against this guy. He was just unbelievable. His one flaw in his game was shooting free throws. And overall, kind of like LeBron right now, he doesn't have the rings to match his dominance, right? He only won that one ring in L.A., one ring in Philly, so two rings. But he's got everything you want in a dominant player, a center, a personality. This guy's unbelievable. Number four, dominant Wilt Chamberlain.
And 100 points in a game. That's what's so crazy to me, man. That was ridiculous.
100 points, you know, average 50. He could get assists when he wanted to. You know, the guy just dominated in all facets of the game.
Yeah. Well, my number four, Ray, might be shocking. You had him nine. I'm going with LeBron James. I think this season of, you know, 26 points, a little bit under 27. He's averaging 27 for his career. But this season should have been Defensive Player of the Year. We all know that. Definitely not Gasol, you know, unless you give it to somebody else. But LeBron was second in voting. Incredible. 8 rebounds, 6 assists, almost 7 assists. You know, he for his career is basically 27, you know, 7-6. It's incredible. And I think if he wins this, you know, he's 1-1 against Duncan. He'll be 2-2 in the finals. I believe in his career he's going to get maybe 4-2 overall, 4-3. I'd like to see him get 5 rings. Who knows? But when I made this list, I was projecting out, and I really feel besides him in the game, you know, you only think of anybody cracking this list as maybe Durant. But LeBron James, to me, he's dominating. I mean, you know, 30-10-10 is like nothing for him. But I do think him and Wade are great together, but I think LeBron does not have the Jordan and Kobe killer instinct, and that's the only thing we're missing from him. He's, you know, a little bit missing of that. But I'd say LeBron James, to me, clearly my number four when it's all said and done of his career. Who you got at three, right?
Well, maybe when it's all said and done, I can't give it to him just yet, just because in 10 years he only has one championship. But moving on, I have Kareem at number three. Again, you said it all. You said it great. He was dominant. He scored. He rebounded. Remember, because he played, what, those 19 seasons, that his stats last 5 seasons tailed off. So his 11 rebounds, actually, when he's in the prime of his career, is more like 12, 13 rebounds. And, of course, he's the NBA all-time leading scorer, 6 titles, 5 MVPs. The guy's unbelievable. Kareem's my number three.
Yeah, I think that 6 titles is just so, you know, impressive, and the MVPs as well. I gotta agree with you on that. So for me at three, Ray, I'm going with Wilt the Stilt. I think Chamberlain, to me, you know, 18 rebounds a game. You know, there are some games he had 50 rebounds. You know, when you look at his stats, and, you know, he only wound up with averaging like 27 a game at the end of his career, which is sort of, you know, bizarre because he was so, you know, dominant or whatever. But, you know, like you said, you know, getting the ring, you know, you think about the different guys he played with, you know, with the Philadelphia Warriors and San Francisco Warriors, you know, then going to the Sixers and then winding up in the Lakers. You know, he was sort of like 5-3-4, you know, with those different franchises. So, you know, it's like, it's sort of weird, right, because he's not known to be a Laker or known to be a Sixer, you know. I mean, he, you know, kind of bounced around with those three organizations. But I think, you know, him, you know, averaging, you know, 30 points, you know, 22 rebounds, four assists, you know, that's kind of crazy, right? I mean, you know, Will Chamberlain, he's one of the, you know, the greatest players without a doubt. I mean, I think his greatest season in a season, Ray, he averaged 27.2 rebounds. I mean, that's like, you know, who does that? So, you know, Will Chamberlain's my number three. And wait. And then that season, right, he averaged – so he averaged 50 points in a season and, you know, on the humble – you know, gives you 25 rebounds a game. So that's the man. Who's your number two?
So my number two is Bill Russell. And I think we had the same number two and number one. But Bill Russell, so I'll let you do number one. But Bill Russell, I'll make the case for Russell real quick. You know, when you talk about winning, the guy won as a player, and the guy even won as a player coach. The guy was coaching the Celtics and still winning, and probably could have
11.
Won more, and maybe could have even won more, but he won 11 times. And if you grow up as a kid and the goal in sports is to, in team sports, right, is to win team championships, and
just
nobody
win, baby.
Was better at it than Bill Russell. And you could argue his offensive game wasn't nearly as polished as Wilt and Kareem, but you know what? He probably could have scored much more than he did on offense. Maybe not Wilt numbers, maybe not Kareem numbers, but he could have. But you know what? He was all about winning, and he did whatever it took to win the games. They didn't create the block shots category until 69, and otherwise he would be, you know, the leader in block shots probably in the NBA all time. Instead of, you know, who we got now, the modern guys, Olajuwon and Mark Eaton and all those guys. But
This
guy is unbelievable. 11 titles and really the consummate team player. And his stats, like I said, could have been better, but he didn't care. He was all about winning. And he won 11 times.
Yeah.
You've got to put a ring on your toe.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, right? And also, you know, hey, he gave you almost 13 points for his career, but over 18 rebounds. You know, I mean, he averaged a couple seasons in a row over, you know, 20 rebounds a game. That's, yeah, Bill Russell is the greatest winner probably, as an individual in all sports history. I mean, it's without question. And then number one, our Tar Heel, Michael
6'6".
James, or Michael Jeffrey Jordan. 6'6", 200, you know, I mean, 30.1 points a game. 6.2 rebounds, 5.3 assists, 2.3 steals, and 0.8, basically almost one block shot a game. Ray, I just, you know, what can we say really, you know, about him? He was not just the most dominant. I think he really, and we saw it when we saw that Dream Team show, he was so competitive. He competed at levels that we've never seen, you know, from an individual. You know, I'm sure older folks, you know, say Oscar was like that too, because even Oscar won't say to this day that Jordan's better than him. Oscar's like, I'm the best ever. And, you know, I could see why Oscar feels that. You know, but we know Jordan's, you know, 6 finals MVPs, 6-0 in the finals. Probably could have been 8-0 if he didn't take that year and a half off, Ray. You know, that loss to Orlando with the young Penny and young Shaq, it almost doesn't seem like it's fair to count it because Jordan wasn't really back into the game yet. But, hey, they beat him, right? You know, they earned it. Yep. And then the other year, he was totally out of the league. He dominated our Knicks, Patrick Ewing. I mean, you know, he scored over 30 a game like it was nothing. His best season was 37 points a game. It was like, you know, Jordan was, you know, Durant in terms of scoring, but, you know, even more so. And he could hit the mid-range game. He hit the threes. He hit clutch shots, fadeaways, penetrate, dunk. You know, and he made Pippen the best, you know, Batman and Robin made him the best Robin ever. I think his defense, though, is almost underrated, if you could imagine that. Jordan.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Nine times first team All-NBA defense. You know,
that's
to
ridiculous.
Me, a scoring champion, especially at his position, at the wing position, right? Because centers have the ability to stand back and protect the paint and get blocked shots and get rebounds just because the game comes to them. Jordan was guarding the wing defender. You know, as a wing defender, he was guarding your best, most athletic player, you know, almost every night. And Pippen, too. But he was doing that game in and game out. And so that's unbelievable. And the fact that he goes 6-for-6 in finals with six finals MVPs. So he didn't lose. He was the best player in the finals six times. And never even went to a game seven, right? He didn't even come close.
Yep.
So even though
he didn't let you sniff the trophy, right? One other amazing stat before we go about him, he led the league in scoring 10 times. 10 times. And two of them were like, you know, his last 2 years in the league, you know, the last 2 years he scored 20 a game, but then, you know, the other last two before that, 28 and 29. So, you know, he came back with Washington, you know, it wasn't the greatest thing, but Jordan was still dropping 20, right? You know,
yeah,
oh, man.
Okay.
You almost feel sorry for the kids, right, that didn't get to see him live. I guess that's the best compliment we can say about Michael Jordan. So, listen, another great show. Ray, enjoy the rest of the honeymoon. Travel safe. We will see you back home. Well, I wish I could, you know, see you, but you'll be back in New York. Gary says, hurry up and get home. This is ridiculous, quote from G Money. G Money said, this is ridiculous, and he's quoting Seinfeld episodes on you, man. He's like, what is this guy doing? Spoke to G Money today. Everybody misses you. So, yeah, safe trip back to New York. And Friday night at 8, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we will recap Game 6 and 7 or just Game 6. Ray and Tay today.
Talking Sports with Friends.
Yeah, thanks for Talking Sports with Friends. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And check out all the old shows at RayandTayToday.com. Peace.
We appreciate all the love. We're out.
Yeah, later, Ray. Ray and Tay. Heat will win it, and the Bruins will win the hockey tonight. Peace.